Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 7. And if you would, please, in honor to the word of the Lord, stand one more time. John chapter 7, begin to read at verse number 37. This is, you know, usually I do a Mama Day sermon, but I really felt like I just wanted to come up. This is like a P.S. to last week's sermon on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to hit that one more time. Verse 37 of John 7, it says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You may be seated. Story is told of a group of sailors who were dying of thirst after a long voyage to South America. They had nearly reached land. They knew it was just over the horizon, but they were doomed because their supply of water had just been exhausted. At the last possible moment, before they expired, another boat appeared, pulled up alongside, and shouted to them, "Hey, do you need anything?" Of course, they screamed back, "Hey, we need water! We need water!" The guys on the other boat began to point to the sea to indicate that they could drink that water that they were floating on. You see, their vessel had reached the outpouring of the mighty Amazon River, which carries its fresh water miles and miles out to sea. And I think there's a lot of Christians today in that same boat, in a sense, who are dying of thirst in the midst of fountains, as Jesus puts it, of living water, simply because they don't know what's available. I mean, maybe they're praying for something that God has already given, already provided. Since they've come to Christ, they didn't even realize that their vessel had reached the point and the place of a great outpouring. Here in John chapter 7, and this is a great passage, all the verses in the Bible are great, aren't they? Yes, they are. Jesus didn't speak of, you know, drops of blessing, a drizzle, far and few between, kind of like a light shower on a spring day. And we've been getting the rain, haven't we? Yeah, enjoy today. It's sunny all day. Tomorrow it's going to rain again, but that's okay. He spoke here of rivers of living water. Think about that. Consider the Mississippi, the Nile, the Danube. No matter how much water you draw out of them, they don't run dry. They just keep rolling along. I've been singing as I prepared this message that song, the Old Man River. That Old Man River. I always have a song that gets stuck in my head during prep time. I've sung that all week. You know, he just kind of keeps rolling along. That's what rivers do. There's a flow. There's a current. These rivers helped, I think, to illustrate the life of a Spirit-filled believer. This supply of living water here that Jesus speaks of is referring, and he's referring to, it is impossible to exhaust it, because it has its origin and its source in the person of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, is inexhaustible. The filling of the Holy Spirit, there's an ample supply for all of God's kids. And that's good news. It's interesting to note that the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 actually has the idea of continuously being filled. It might be translated, be filled and keep on being filled, or be being filled. We are to live, think about this, in a state of constantly being filled. Last week we talked about that a little bit. It's not a one-time experience. It's not something that I received in the ninth grade at youth convention. It was an experience. You know, Pentecost is an experience. That Acts 2 experience is real. But it's more than just an experience. It's to be an ongoing process. I was filled with the Holy Spirit 40 years ago. Yeah, but have you been filled recently? I mean, come on, we leak. We need additional supply. And it's available to us all the time. If we're not being filled up, we soon become dried up. And there's a lot of folks, you know. But you know what? When I think about Christians who are dried up, there's hope there. Hope there. I don't know if you're one. I don't know if somebody's watching us today might be one. But you know what? Dried up sticks. That makes great kindling. So if you're dried up today, just present yourself to God and say, Lord, fill me. Lord, send the fire. Send the fire. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And if there's anything I think that missing in a lot of Christians' lives is the enthusiasm that comes about when you set yourself on fire. I know sometimes, you know, with charcoal, having a little barbecue, making a little something over at the parsonage. Sometimes I love playing with lighter fluid. It's the greatest stuff in the world. You can put it on there, you know, light it, and then put more on there. And sometimes I've been known to put too much on there, and I walk up and light it, and you get that burst, you know, zoom. It's just great. One thing I've noticed about myself, about anybody, you set yourself on fire, people are going to know it. You become very lively. You become very expressive. Richard Pryor, a comedian many, many years ago, accidentally set himself on fire. He was doing drugs, free-basing cocaine. Set himself on fire. He said, I ran out of my apartment. I was running down the street. I was on fire. He said, one thing I've noticed about being on fire, people notice you. Just about incinerated himself. You know what I'm saying is we need the expression of God's enthusiasm in our lives. We need the fire. Come on. Motion, energy, effort. It's automatic. Just automatic. Told you about my friend who loved to put tons of sugar in his tea. And one day I said to him, oh, my Lord, for heaven's sakes, aren't you going to stir that up? And he said, are you kidding me? No way. It would be too sweet. I thought to myself, that doesn't make any sense. He liked the idea of having all the sugar in his glass. He just didn't want it to flavor his tea. Made no sense to me. You know, we can live like that in regards to the Holy Spirit. We can like knowing that He's within us. We can take great comfort in the fact that He indwells us. You cannot be a Christian without the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. If you have God, He's there. And yet we can allow His influence to remain dormant and stagnant, and settled to the bottom of life's priority like sugar in a glass of tea. Oh, He's there. He's there. That's why the Bible says, stir up the gift, so that the sweetness of God's character might be seen in us. Stir it up. Come on, need some activity. Not just going through the motions, but going with the flow. And let me tell you something. When it comes to stirring, God hands you the spoon. We expect God to do everything. But God has placed His Spirit within us, His gifts within us. Now He says, come on, it's up to you to stir it up, to utilize it, to develop it, and use it in your life. Oh, I'm so thankful for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we need that every day, you know, just not on Sundays and Wednesdays. Every day, that precious indwelling and infilling of God's Spirit upon us, it will change the way that you live. It's the answer to the pressures that we handle in life. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is kind of like a Teflon coating. You know, when you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, what people say, what people do, what people aim at you, the target they make out of you, not everything is going to stick to you when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit of a living God. The way you respond to people in life, and boy, there are all kinds of people out there. Nice people, not so nice. But they can't influence you. You have to be operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You have to control whatever situation you might find yourself in. And let me tell you something. Some people are afraid to yield their lives to the control of the Holy Spirit. But when you are being led by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, you are never more in control. That's true. You don't have to be afraid of yielding your life to the influence of the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus is going to be seen in us, we have got to stir it up. We have to be on fire. We have to fire up. And we just got to let God take control. My God, may there come just a mighty stirring in all of our hearts and in this house. May God just begin to stir us, huh? Maybe some of us just need to be set on fire a little bit. You know, a little bit of godly enthusiasm. There is none so old as that individual that outlives enthusiasm. Are you pumped up for life? Are you excited about things? Do you jump out of bed in the morning and say, oh, yeah, this is the day that the Lord has made? There are going to be opportunities for me just to share Jesus with somebody, to be kind to somebody. Went to the diner yesterday. Hard to imagine. I know. And a little man was coming in, moving very, very slowly, may I dare say. And he was moving slow, and the guy behind him was moving even slower. So I held the door, and I waited for the first guy. And he went through and told me to have just a blessed day. And he put his blessings on. I thought it was the Pope. He was just blessing me. And so I'm trying to stay current there. So he went on in. And then finally the second little man came through and muttered something. And he went in. But you know what? I said, that was kind of fun holding the door. So as we left out the other door, other people are, so I just stood there and I held the door. And at that moment, it kind of dawned on me how many people smiled and said, thank you. That really means a lot to me. You know what? When we can allow God taking that and just to do kind acts, thinking about somebody else, waiting on somebody else, serving somebody else, how might God use us, the influence that we can have? I see Jesus holding doors for people. I just believe that's the heart of God. I see Jesus helping people. I see Jesus waiting on people. I see Jesus washing people's feet. That's the God that we serve. And he did it all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, the miracles I do through the Spirit of God. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. He was able to lay down his life, the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not going to do anything for God by bypassing the Holy Spirit. Nothing will be done in the name of the Lord to bring honor and glory in the building of the kingdom apart from God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If anything's done to the honor and glory of God, it's going to be done under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm under the influence. And that's a good influence. You can be under other that's hard to say. Under other influences, but nothing like being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can like the idea, like I said, of having the Holy Spirit in us, but are we allowing him to stir us? Christianity today, somewhat powerless, somewhat weak, somewhat ineffective, not because, you know, we're not saved. We are. We've been born again. But because we've not come to Jesus, met him down at the river, and been baptized in the living water. Hey, I love that. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, and he is the one who said to the guys, his disciples who were with him, hey, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Who's the baptizer? In the Holy Spirit. The Lord himself. You get saved. First thing you need to do is be baptized in water. You'll get in a tank. You'll go down to the river. And a minister, somebody in the clergy, you know, a disciple of Christ, will take you down. Take you under. Hopefully bring you back up. You know how it works. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You get baptized. This is a sign of what God has done on the inside. Marvelous. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God does it himself. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I love that. And he wants to baptize all of us. Fill us to the brim, overflowing, bubbling up. Man, the joy of the Lord. When you open up your life to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, when you are ready to receive what he's already given, there's a whole new dimension in the spiritual realm that opens up to you. This is the abundant life we've been promised by Christ. The abundant life is the Spirit-filled life. To live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, to be prompted by and led by the Spirit. Oh, what a great... Life's not boring. Your Christian life is not boring when you're being led by the Spirit of God. Never a dull moment with the Lord. When the disciples broke camp every morning and went to town with him or went down by the seashore with him, you never knew what he was going to do, but you knew it wasn't going to be boring. Of all the things that were ever said about Jesus by the religious leaders, nobody ever accused him of being dull. He could liven up any party. You're out of wine, no problem. Got you covered. Huh? Sickness, nothing. Demons, get out of my way. You never knew what Jesus was going to do next, but you knew it was going to be done to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. This living water of which Jesus speaks, I think fails to flow in our lives either because sometimes we just don't want it or we refuse to meet the conditions that God has set up to get it. Jeremiah 2:13. This is a good verse you need to jot down. Two charges that God brings against his people. Listen, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Do you know what a cistern is? Cistern, it's an artificial reservoir for storing liquids and especially water. So here it is. God tells his people, catch this, you have rejected the genuine in a vain, artificial, manufactured attempt to quench your own thirst, to satisfy your own soul, to meet your own spiritual need. God's people no longer thirsted for God because they had become content to drink from their own polluted wells. Okay? They knew there was a thirst, but rather than trust God for the supply, they depended upon themselves. They dug wells that couldn't quench, wells that could not satisfy them. And God says, I have that against you. Why would you do that? Why would you go after an artificial substitute when you can come to me and I can baptize you in the genuine? Vance Havner said, and I quote, we say that we depend on God, but actually we are so wired up with our own devices and gimmicks that if the fire doesn't fall from heaven, we can turn on a switch and produce false fire of our own. If there's no sound of a rushing mighty wind, we have the furnace all set to blow hot air instead. God save us from a synthetic Pentecost. God save us from our own devices and the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh for the people of God, that would be us, is when we're no longer filled with the Spirit, but we're just kind of running on fumes. You ever been there? Going down the road, keeping one eye on the gas gauge? I mean, it's below empty. You've been there? Most uncomfortable feeling in the world. Am I going to make it to a gas station? Why didn't I stop to get filled up before this? Nothing's worse than to run out of gas on a highway and have to walk somewhere and come back with a little can and fill it. I've done that. It's terrible. Instead of preparing, instead of being ready, instead of being watchful, I just let the tank go dry. And yet, spiritually speaking, we can do the very same thing. So busy we think for God that we're just burning up the fuel and not realizing where the tank is, what it's registering. How's your spiritual gas tank, you know? Where's the needle right now in your own life? You're close to full? Man, my dad had a practice, and I know it's Mother's Day, but my dad said, never, he preached this. My dad wasn't a preacher, but he did preach this. Never let the needle get below half full. Man, I still have a habit. Don't you ever let that needle go below a half a tank. You keep it always half full. That sounds pretty good to me. But there's nothing like having a full tank. If you're going to go on a journey, if you're going to go on an adventure with God, fill the tank. Fill the tank. The church has to be more than just a broken cistern that holds no water. The modern church, when you stop to think about it, I mean the church of today, the best educated, the most organized that's ever been, hands down. We've crossed over the tracks, don't you know? And along with the Jeffersons, we've moved up to the east side. No more storefronts down there, you know, for the Assemblies of God. We've made it. Now we have mega churches. Multitudes come. But somewhere along the way, we kind of left God behind, I think. Mary and Joseph did. And who loved Jesus more than them? You can love God and still leave Him. And go a day's journey and then say, hey, has anybody seen Jesus? Let me ask you, when was the last time you saw Jesus in your life? When was the last time you felt Jesus moving in you? You know, we've forsaken the fountain of living water and we kind of dug our own wells. Listen, we hewn or we carve out for ourselves cisterns whenever we attempt. And if I was only going to say one sentence out of this message to you, this would be the sentence I would say, and here it is. We do that when we do for God without God. You do for God without God and see where that will take you. Go out of here this afternoon and attempt to do something for God and leave God in the sanctuary. And just say, I'm going to go do it on my own. See where all that will take you. It will take you nowhere because Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. Don't leave God behind. Stay up. Stay current. That will keep you relevant. Stay in touch with God so that you can touch in the name of God. In your devotional lives, don't say, I'll do that tomorrow. No, you need God's anointing. You need God's presence. And you need to be aware of it today. Today is the day of salvation. God may have something very special for you when you wake up in the morning or yet today that He wants you to do. Developing that sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to walk by an opportunity because I'm just not prepared. I'm not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Those inner promptings, He tells me to stop. He tells me to say. He tells me to do. And I'm just too busy. I have my own agenda. I'm going on a vacation. I can't worry about that. I got to do this, Lord. I'll get back to you. Don't get back to Him. Take Him with you. Go with God. Go with God. As a movement, there is a real danger of becoming like the man who got a job with the county, you know, painting lines down the middle of the highway. He was expected to paint 2 miles a day. Oh, the first day, bang up job. He did 4 miles his first day. The next day, he did 2. The third day, he only got 1 mile of highway painted. Well, the supervisor approached him and said, hey, come on, buddy. What's the problem here? Are you hurt? Did you injure yourself? You keep painting less and less every day. And the man replied, oh, no, sir, I'm not hurt. I just keep getting, you know, further and further away from the bucket. I love that illustration. When we move away from our Pentecostal heritage, We only make the work of God more difficult for ourselves, and we become less and less effective for God. The point, the title of this message, stay close to the bucket. Stay close to God. Every day of your life, allow Him, take a moment to stir in you. Good minister friend was with Catherine Kuhlman. She was speaking in Cincinnati. And before she came out, they'd already announced her. She was just pacing in the back of the auditorium behind the curtain. And they kept waiting for Catherine Kuhlman to come out. Many of you may not even know who that is. But they were waiting for her, and she was just pacing. And they would say, Madam, not yet. And she kept walking and pacing. Not yet. Can't go yet. And all of a sudden, the minister said, she stopped and had a huge smile and said, now we go. Because in that moment, she felt the hand of God upon her, touching her. And she knew that God's anointing was on her for that moment. Great moments. I think some of the greatest moments in church history don't even happen anywhere close to Sunday. They happen through the week. A great moment where God takes an individual and He uses them, not under the spotlight, not in the form of religion, but He does it to minister to a need because God is there. On the highway, on the hedges, keep looking for opportunities. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. Oh, God, make us sensitive to your voice. I'm walking by people who are dying and suffering and hurting. And I have the answer because I have you. And through the anointing, we can make a difference. Please don't misunderstand. All of God's creation operates by organization. There has to be a structure. But what we have to remember is that the more machinery of ministry that we develop, the more oil that it's going to take to keep it running smoothly. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. Desperately need it. Let me tell you this. Never forget, Jesus didn't leave His disciples with a strategy. Go to the bookstore. Walk down the Christian aisle. Thousands of books on leadership. Thousands of books on how to win the world. Thousands of things. You can find anything you need strategizing about changing your world. Jesus didn't leave us with a strategy. There was no organizational plan for winning the world. He didn't do that. All He left us with was a promise. Just a promise. He promised them something more and better than just a plan or a program. He promised to His disciples a person, the Holy Spirit. Guys, listen to me. Huddle up here. I'm going back to the Father. Okay, but you guys are going to run with the ball now. And what you got to do is you got to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. He's coming. And He will comfort you, and He will counsel you, and He will infuse you with power. The Greek word is, I will give you another comforter, another paraclete, one called to the side of. He will come, even as you have walked with Me side by side, the Holy Spirit. He will go with you step by step, moment by moment. The Holy Spirit will be your guide. He will enable you to accomplish My will. You'll be able to do what I've done and even more than I've done. I am going to multiply Myself in you. And you're going to turn the world upside down. And the world will have to admit it. The Spirit would come to live in them and equip them with the power and the guidance that they so desperately needed. If the Holy Spirit isn't allowed to actively direct the operation of His church, because in Acts chapter 2, Jesus said He will be the chief administrator of the church. By controlling the members of that church, then the church will have lost its dynamics. You know what makes the church dynamic? The influence of the Holy Spirit. because you never know what the Holy Spirit is going to do next. You wake up, your eyes wide open. What are you going to do today, Holy Spirit? And how are you going to use me to get the job done? By the end of the day, by the time I sit back on this bed to close my eyes and go to sleep, Lord, I want to be able to say that you used me today to make a difference in somebody's life. Because the day that I live that I don't touch anybody for you or share you with anybody is a wasted day. We only have a few. Time is so short. Holy Spirit, use me. Use me. There's no greater honor than to be used by God, to be going along under the anointing and have the Holy Spirit whisper to you. Whisper to you. Hey, you just passed somebody back there. You need to go back and pray. That person over there, they just need an encouraging word. They need a smile. They need you just to share. Take time. Take time. Look around. Be observant. If the Holy Spirit is allowed to just direct us, we lose the dynamics of just following the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit is the key to our moving in the miraculous. And don't you want to see God do something miraculous? Something you can't do, something that I can't do. There needs to be the touch of the supernatural upon our lives and in our services. I believe that. God healing, God saving, God delivering, God releasing, God setting free. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Let the fire from heaven fall. Let the indwelling Holy Spirit begin to direct us. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else. Oh, God, make me sensitive. Give me ears to hear. Let us begin to see. We're seeking the miracle worker. But I'm telling you what, if you hang around Jesus long, miracles follow. Goodness follows. Mercy follows. Because everywhere Jesus went, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, things happened. The ultimate purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that lives might glorify Christ. Shine the spotlight on Him. That's the mission on this Mission Sunday of the Holy Spirit. He said, He shall glorify Me. He will bear witness of Me. In other words, the Spirit doesn't draw attention to Himself. He always points men to Christ. And this is one of the tests of a Spirit-filled life. Is Christ, and answer these questions in your own way, is Christ becoming more and more evident in me? I mean, is He even surprising me? You ever been there? You know how you would normally respond in a situation, and yet you spent time with the Lord, and the way that you responded at that moment was, God spoke through me. God worked through me. Is there evidence? Huh? If you were put on trial, is there enough evidence to prove that you're really a Christian? Sure. Are people seeing more of Him and less of me? John the Baptist said, I've got to decrease. He has to increase. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Your life will begin to glorify Christ. Because the Holy Spirit that is indwelling you has infilled you with His presence. He'll take you and you will begin to glorify Christ. You'll begin to point men and women to God. Boys and girls to God. Why do we need to be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's easy, to speak in tongues. No. No, nay I say. As great as speaking in tongues is in your private devotional time, that's not the reason. And sometimes I think people equate being baptized with just speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's only evidence too. You go into a shoe store. You say, I'd like to buy a pair of shoes. You don't go in and say, I'd like to buy a pair of tongues. No, the tongues just kind of come with the shoes. You go get the shoes. It's one package. And when you get along with God and when you receive His fullness, there will come a language. I believe that with all of my heart. And you know what that will help you to do, number one? It will help your communication with God. you develop a deeper walk in life with God. As you're able to communicate. I mean, no interference. You're in a language, it's deep calling to deep. Marvelous. But speaking in tongues, some people are afraid. You know, I don't want to speak. Do I have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to. You get to. Yeah. Well, will I be able to control it? Yes, you will. You won't be at Piggly Wiggly and all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? There is control. God will be there. Listen, we need to be filled. This is why. Because only in the power of the Holy Spirit can we live a life that glorifies God. Truly glorifies Him. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we find the power to be, the power to live, the power to serve. And I believe with all of my heart, it's for someone who is just thirsting for more. You know, people that go to church week after week and they say, is this it? Is this the end of the road? Is this as far as I can go in God? No, it's not. There is something that God has in reserve for all of His kids. There is a deeper walk, a deeper life, an indwelling, an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it will change you and it will light you and it will fire you up. And it's a marvelous thing. It's the answer to the staleness and the dryness. It's freshness in our lives. ABCs of being filled. You might want to jot this down. It's only ABC. How long can this take? A, ask based on relationship. When you're alone with God, wherever it might be, just say, Father, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. A, just ask Him. B, believe based on Scripture. Go read the Bible. Pull out all the references on the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go back to Acts chapter 2. May we all experience an Acts chapter 2 in our lives. And then see, come based on thirst. Yeah. If you're not thirsting for more of God, then the baptism, you know, it won't be of great interest to you. But if you're thirsty, if you just say, man, there's something missing. There's something more. I want God to do everything that God wants to do in my life. I mean, I've got this emptiness, this dryness. Please, Holy Spirit, come. Marvelous moment when God comes to us. Precious moment. A life that will change you when the Holy Spirit steps into yours. Hey, we are Pentecostal. I say we are Pentecostal. Amen. And I, you know, might as well start acting like it. What do you say? Getting fired up, being excited about the Lord, stopping people on the street. Yeah. Not to be silly, not to be stupid, but just to say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, what a difference a smile can make. Come on. Yeah. People don't want to go to a church where it looks like you've been baptized in lemon juice. You know, sourpuss. They don't want to team up with another dysfunctional family. They've already got one of those. So they're looking for something, some life, some motion, some movement, something miraculous. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times that we attempt to do things within our own strength, based upon our own personalities, based upon what we think is a good idea, but Lord, it didn't come from your heart. I just pray for each and every one of my family members here today. As we move along down the road, that Lord, if we're thirsty, that we'll thirst more. That you will create within this fellowship a hunger and a thirst like it has never known. Lord, in our body, we pray for a hunger. We pray for a thirst. We pray for a cry that says we want more. Help us, Lord. Help us. Lord, we know it takes you to get to you. So we ask for your leading, Holy Spirit. Help us and fill us and use us. In Jesus' name.